Greetings, and welcome to the 12th installment of our podcast series, The Workforce Lens, brought to you by Tarrant County College in North Texas. I am Shannon Bryant, Executive Vice President for Corporate Solutions and Economic Development, and I will be your host, moderating strategic conversations with employers and economic developers on all things related to preparing and growing the workforce today and the future. Today, please help me welcome our guest, Dr. Kyle McGregor, President and CEO of National Farm Life Insurance. For more than 60 years, National Farm Life has provided family-oriented services to Texans. The major purpose of the company is to provide old-line legal reserve insurance to agricultural people at the absolute lowest possible net cost, but their service is no longer limited to the agricultural profession. They are proud to have the opportunity to assist all the people of Texas with their life insurance needs. Kyle, welcome to the Workforce Lens. We're happy to have you here today.
Thank you so much, Shannon. It's a pleasure to be here.
So, Kyle, let's get started. We always like to learn a little bit more about your company, your mission, your vision, values. So tell us about National Farm Life.
Well, the first thing I'd like to tell you is that we're going through a website refresh, and some of that information is a little bit dated on the website. I'm sorry, I should have told you that.
That's okay. Well, tell us what you want us to know.
Well, so we just celebrated our 75th anniversary, and so that was last year, and so we're 76 years old at the moment, and boy, that website is dated.
Okay.
But we are launching a new website here within the next few months, and that's something new and exciting that's going on with the company. But the company was founded in 1946 by a gentleman named William C. Young. We refer to this as a National Farm Life story because it's still pervasive of who we are and what we believe about the work that we do for Texans and those outside of the state as well. So William C. Young was a college student and played football up at Texas Tech, and he was studying agricultural education. He was going to be a secondary agricultural science teacher in high schools, and he was. And during the summers, he sold life insurance on the side for a company in order to make a little bit extra money. And the company had made promises to pay a portion of its profits to its policyholders. So it didn't come through with those promises very well. He actually paid more of the dividends to their stockholders, and he thought that was not a very square deal based upon what he had communicated to his clients. And so he quit the company, and about that time World War II started. He went off to World War II, was served in the Army Air Corps, and worked in the insurance division. And he formulated an idea for this company that he was going to form when he came back to Texas. And he did. He came back to Texas, drove around the entire state, and raised $140,000, the original capital, to form the company. And the Texas Department of Insurance, the legislature, bought in on the idea, and the company was founded in 1946. And his primary promise was only 10% of that original amount of capital, so $14,000 a year annually, is paid to the stockholders of the company. And a volume, as a matter of fact, 64% of our profits from 2021 will be paid to our policyholders.
Wow. So the legacy lives on.
It does. It's a very big promise. So that's the story of National Farm Life, and it's a story that we still speak about today. And he was a very unique man, very ingenious for his time. And knew how to take really good care of people, and had a deep, deep concern for people. So that as I mentioned earlier, it's very pervasive throughout the culture of our company, and we live by that code still. So the company's mission and vision still floats around that. We aim to be that that life insurance company that everyone knows that they deserve. And we live by a set of core values that really are focused on who we are and who we've been for 76 years now.
And the company, it is headquartered here in Fort Worth, yes?
It is. It was founded in the stockyards in 1946, and then in 1968 we built that the iconic mid-century modern building out on the east side of downtown Fort Worth was built in 68 and moved in.
The one on the hill.
The one on the hill. We put a Christmas bell on it every Christmas. It was
yeah,
Mr. Young's.
It's like a Christmas present.
Exactly. It was Mr. Young's gift to every Texan.
Very nice. Yes. I, being new to Texas a few years ago, I drove by that building many times and wondered what that was, and then had the honor to come visit not too long ago. So, Kyle, are any of the family members still involved in the organization?
Yes, our majority stockholder, our owner, is William Michael Young, or Mike, as we refer to him. He is the majority stockholder and the owner of the company.
Okay.
He still serves on our board of directors.
That's great. Love that. My father was in the life insurance business for many years, so very familiar. And so that leads me to the next question. Being involved in this industry in the past myself a little bit, the insurance industry has obviously changed over the years. And so tell us a little bit about, from your perspective, how the insurance industry has changed over the past years, and what do you predict the future to look like?
Oh, wow. Do you want pre-COVID or post-COVID?
Whatever you want to talk to us about.
Gosh, there's so much to be said about what COVID has done to multiple industries, including the life insurance industry, so I'll reserve that for a more focused conversation. But just to know that the COVID was, we talk about things being disruptive to industries or individuals being disruptive to industries. COVID was extremely disruptive, and not just from a death claim standpoint, but all different aspects of the industry. And we're going to see things change in the industry in the next 5 years that have found roots in a pandemic that we're hopefully wrapping up right now. But if we look a little bit further back than the pandemic, I would say that from an investment standpoint, you know, about 40% of our income would come from investment yield. And existing in a low interest rate environment for about the last 10 to 12 years is a very slow and painful death for any insurance company because of the investment arm. And I would think that, or I would say that all in life insurance companies are suffering from that low interest rate environment. We see some glimmers of hope with what's going on now with the Fed, but I have a feeling that's going to be very temporary and won't be the turn that we're looking for in the long term.
So can you talk a little bit more about that? What's for those that aren't familiar, what's happening with the Fed right now?
So if we think about what the Fed is doing in reaction to what's going on in the nation with regard to inflation, they've been talking since, gosh, last October, November, about adjusting interest rates and pulling those up. And March has been the marker for quite some time. interest rates have naturally come up from the stock markets and bonds and bond market. So we're seeing that, and the first official move is they're talking about a half point or 5 basis point move in March. So that's going to hit a lot of short term and new bond purchases for us, but we're looking for a little bit more of a long haul approach to that.
Okay, so today being March 1st, you should start to see some movement here soon.
Yeah, it's
fingers crossed.
We're keeping our eye on the market. So.
Okay. Understood. So obviously, besides COVID, again, having some experience working in this industry for many years, either being in the industry itself or working with individuals and organizations in life insurance, one of the things that I've noted is the aging population of the workforce in life insurance. Speak to us a little bit about that and what you're seeing in particular at your organization.
So we do have, and that would be number three in my mind, something that we're keeping an eye on the horizon. We have a field force that is definitely aging. You don't see the number of young individuals stepping into the industry saying, I'm going to be a life insurance agent, or many people would treat that as a secondary career choice or a fallback, unfortunately, but it can be a tremendously lucrative career choice, and unfortunately people don't choose it as something that they're familiar with. I think it's rooted in familiarity at some point.
And why do you think that is? And what do you think the industry is doing, or what can they do to change that perspective of this field? Because I do know it can be a very lucrative field.
Right. I think a communication and marketing what the industry actually is would be something that I'm trying to hang my hat on and do a better job of. And we've always relied on, with National Farm Life, an internal recruiting process, agent to agent, one-on-one. We have what are called regional coordinators that will bring in agents and recruit them on a one-on-one basis and bring them into the fold, bring them into the company. And those agents will, by and large, have a career experience that already exists. We have no methodology for bringing in young individuals right out of college, or individuals who are studying in college, to be agents. And again, we're talking about field force, and we're not talking about home office employees or individuals who work in servicing organizations that service home offices mm-hmm. for insurance companies. But the field force is really what we're focusing on here with these comments, that it's tough to get young people to focus on stepping into life insurance. There's some organic things that happen around that. You know, you look at young people, and they tend to know people that are about 10 years younger than them and 10 years older than them. But you can take an agent who has lived, and they might be 40 to 50 to 60 years old. They're going to know a larger spectrum of people and make up their book of business. They're going to know a lot more people and have a lot more contacts. So as an agent matures, obviously they become more productive. It's a little bit tougher for a young person to get started out.
Right. It's no longer the days of going around and knocking on the doors. I remember my dad stories about him going door to door, knocking, asking about life insurance. So mm-hmm. life insurance, by, you know, it's not sexy, but it's necessary. Mm-hmm. And so establishing that the importance of life insurance to individuals and drawing that younger person to the field is absolutely necessary. Can you talk a little bit about what does a career pathway look like if a young person gets involved in the life insurance industry? You know, obviously they have to get their insurance license, but talk a little bit about maybe what is the first 5 years of a career in the life insurance field look like education-wise?
So if we were to look at the life insurance industry a little bit more holistically and not just talk about the agency or the field force, and we were to break that into three distinct areas, field force being one, home office staff being two, and then a servicing organization or agency being a third. And we could even break it further into those individuals who are employed by the Texas Department of Insurance. So from a policy standpoint or legislative standpoint even, you can be involved in the industry itself. So if we go back to the first one, an agency, typically a young agent will step in and there will be some sort of mentorship role or training program within a company that exists, and they would work their way through that and progress and develop what's known as a book of business that they would work. They would either work on leads provided by that company, or they would pay themselves leads. Now, our field force, they're all independent agents. So we have roughly 1,500 agents that are contracted with us. They are not our employees, which is one of the things I love about the fact that we work with independent agents, because I get to motivate them, and the home office gets to do really fun and nice things for them when they perform well.
And those agents are all over the country, correct?
They're all over the state.
Over the state of Texas.
Correct. Okay. National Farm Life is domiciled in Texas.
Okay, just Texas.
Texas. We do have a subsidiary called American Farm Life, and we do business in New Mexico and Oklahoma with that company.
Okay.
And future plans are to branch out a little bit, so we're looking for growth and new things to happen. Yeah.
Okay. So as a leader of the organization, talk about that motivation. What are you doing to motivate these 1,500 individuals and your home office staff?
Oh, gosh. Well, we had a lot of fun during the pandemic, if you can imagine having fun with that. We had the it was 2021. Yeah, it was 2021. The spring of 2021, we had numbers just really sink for us. And no, it's 2020. It's 2020. 2020 really sunk for us. And
it's all a blur, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it is. It's crazy how all that's happened. But in 2021, we turned around the springtime. We put some things together and talked about taking revenge on COVID. You know, our field force, they're traditional. We sell to Middle Texas. You know, these are just good old Texans. You know, when you start thinking about people who live in the state of Texas, and they sell face to face. We don't have a distribution model that's purely online. We don't have the big funny commercials that you see on TV when you think of life insurance companies. These are Texans selling to Texans. And they get out there and they know your family. They know your kids' names. They'll probably know your pets' names too. They couldn't do that in 2020 in the spring. They were really locked into finding different ways to sell their products, our products. And, we heard stories about people making sales over the cell phone. Zoom became a big thing. We had examples of agents that would drive to your front door or to your home, stay in the vehicle, and then roll down the window enough to slide a piece of paper out for you to sign on that application and pass it back through the window. So these agents were out there. They were hungry. They needed to sell. And so 2021, we took revenge on COVID. We put in a contest. So we have a standard contest that rolls throughout a business year, through a fiscal year. And so on top of that, we were stacking incentive contests where we were paying agents essentially on the front end when they'd submit an application, and on the back end when we issued it. So, and then we were paying them for when they were coming to meetings. We were paying. So we made it very, very lucrative to do business. And in 2021, we have a strategic priority set to grow the company, and we're doing that by bringing in more agents, building the field force. But in 2021, with our standard field force, we hadn't started this project yet, but we beat the best year in company history.
Amazing. Yeah. Well, a lot of people were laying people off or losing employees. You were gaining momentum and helping with your retention. And
yes, they were hungry.
That's awesome.
And we fed them at the right time and in the right ways. So we found ways to fund their Christmas gifts for the kids. We found ways to, you know, do neat things for Thanksgiving dinners. It just was a lot of great ideas at the right time.
Well, that's great. Kudos to you. People are, I always say people are your number one investment, and it sounds like you really not only, you know, mentioned that vision, but you live that vision as well.
Yeah, I was about to say, it all goes back to treating people very well.
That's great. So Kyle, talk a little bit more pertaining to all of the staff that you have. What are some of the skill sets that are needed for the types of employees that you hire?
Yeah, so that really gets us back to what we were talking about, those multiple components earlier. If you look at our home office staff, we have people that are on staff, administrators like myself. We have individuals that are frontline individuals. So you think of customer service, new business, marketing, those people that deal directly with policyholders or with agents more than anything else. And then we have those areas that you would find in, gosh, any business, IT, HR, those types of areas, which would be marketing, is also very common. Excuse me. But then life insurance companies have other areas that are very unique to them. We employ actuaries. We have underwriters. We have an investment team. So we have different segments of the business. And then we have accountants that work. But you might say, well, and accountants are the same across all businesses. Well, they're not. It's statutory accounting. So it's a totally different way that you – it's not GAAP accounting. It's very conservative compared to GAAP. So many of the same roles that you would find in other businesses, but very specialized based upon the life insurance industry.
Okay, so I'm going to be a little selfish for a moment. I want to talk about community colleges.
Okay.
So you are kind of in the heart of, you know, Fort Worth, and you're located near a lot of Tarrant County college campuses and locations. And so I guess from the perspective I want to speak to, community colleges are really staples in communities for students to pursue lucrative career opportunities at home, because majority of community college graduates stay home, they stay local. How has Tarrant County College, or from your perspective, any community college from any other industry that you've been in life insurance, been instrumental in providing the education or the resources, the talent, and to help gain interest in the life insurance field? What's your connection been? What has your experience been?
So two vastly different experiences for me. I'll reference the first, but then speak in depth with regard to the life insurance industry. So higher education was the field that I transitioned from to the life insurance industry, which seems a little bit odd, but I've been with the company for 14 years on the company's board. So that's it's not like I stepped into the company blind. But obviously, from a higher education standpoint, community colleges are just vital. They're a tremendous pipeline and really a great jump start for if you're rural or if you can't afford to go to university, or if you just don't have availability. That becomes such an important piece of a higher education puzzle for so many families across the state of Texas and farther. From a life insurance perspective, I kind of look through our executive team and our home office staff, and there is evidence of community college experience throughout our team, and it's great to hear the conversations and people talk about, I played athletics at community college, or I got my start there. That's where I went because it was close to home. It felt good. It felt right. Or they had exactly what I was looking for, and that's what I wanted to do. So it's in that national farm life culture. I think that what you do, Shannon, the embraces and embodies what community colleges are all about. They're responsive to the local workforce. You're nimble. You're able to pivot really quickly and serve the workforce. You know, you and I have had conversations about not just workforce needs for us, but, you know, putting together a leadership program. And y'all have done some work for us on that, and even looking into maybe helping us with our strategic plan when we're ready to step across that piece of work. There's all kinds of diverse needs that a community college fills within a community, but that responsiveness to industry is so special.
That's great. I couldn't have said it better myself.
That's pretty good advertisement there.
Thank you. We appreciate that. So, Kyle, obviously still going back to you being a leader in this industry, the life insurance, not just National Farm Life, but across the entire industry in the country. Give us some thoughts on ways that you think leaders in this industry can start making a difference in the workforce.
So the life insurance industry, I mean, if you just look at the state of Texas, and you're talking about 350,000 jobs, on an annual basis, right, I believe it's right at $35 billion the life insurance industry in the state of Texas pays out in death benefits and annuities. And then from an investment standpoint, you're looking at around $500 billion invested annually. And that puts the industry itself at about number six as far as a revenue generator for the state of Texas as far as tax revenue. So if you talk from a really a broad spectrum approach, you know, the number of jobs, and if you break that down further to think about life insurance or health insurance or different types of insurance that are provided by employers that touch individuals every day, and how that steps in the gap when families have troubles. So you really start to think about how life insurance becomes very, from a broad scope looking at the entire state or the nation, to a very, very granular approach to how that insurance impacts families. You know, I believe this stat that I looked at the other day, our investment guy was talking with me, Mark Williams. He said to me, he said, you know, that if it wasn't for pension funds and life insurance companies, there would only be about 20% of the bond market purchase that's regularly purchased. He said, we account for about 80% of that.
Wow.
It's staggering to think about that, the amount of money that's invested by life insurance companies annually across the nation. And he said, yeah, and life insurance companies are paying out about the same amount as Social Security on a daily basis. So you think about the benefit provided to Americans that you just don't get, and you really don't think about the industry like that, but it's a huge industry. I'm sorry, I got off on a little bit of a tangent there.
That's okay. But, no, we want to tell us more.
from our perspective, from National Farm Life, you know, how are we doing that? Obviously, we insure a lot of Texans. There's a bit of an anecdote that's shared, at least I know with our company, that when the worst happens for a family and there's a funeral and you attend that funeral, lots of times there's a lot of people with invoices to hand the family, and you get to be the only person, one of the few people, who show up with a check. And you really get to be that company and that spirit behind the family that says, hey, we were there to help and be a part of that. So it makes you feel really good about the job that you're doing, and it's a special job. And then, so, you know, it gets, like I said earlier, it gets very granular. It gets very personal with families. But at the same time, you know, we do things for our family that we call the National Farm Life family, the employees in the building, the agents. And I mentioned culture earlier and how it is to treat them with the dignity and respect that they deserve. I think that ties into why we have such a good retention of employees, why we have long-term employees. We have our head underwriter, Linda Hewen. She's 44 years in. And our executive team, the individual with the least amount of time is me, with 2 years, and the next is 7, and the next is 14, and the next is 20-plus, two of them. So
it's a long tenure.
Long tenures, and people come, and they stay. They stay with us. They typically stay in the industry, but they stay with us because we've done things like we provide 401k with a 25% match.
Wow, 25%. Yeah, that's amazing.
And we have a pension. An old school pension. So on top of that, so people know that they have just a wonderful retirement. We have competitive salaries. We do great things to motivate our home office staff, much like we do our agents. Mm-hmm. And we even down to the smallest things, like celebrating birthdays or holidays or performance, and those things matter. When people come to work every day and they feel really good about the place they work, and they feel pretty safe.
Right. I love that. And just to point out a couple of things that you've said, so do a lot of work in the multi-generations in the workplace space. That's a big issue in workforce today. And you just talking about that and talking about the long tenure of the individuals within your organization, I guess it would also be safe to say that a concern for you right now as president and CEO of the organization is you have a lot of folks with long tenure, but those folks are also initially going to be approaching retirement soon. Mm-hmm. So on the back end of that, right, talking about young folks, we need to fill the talent pipeline, right? So I'm sure that's something that is on your mind and of a concern as part of your strategic planning, yes?
Yes, we will lose two individuals in December that have 30 years and 40 years collectively. Not collectively, individually. Collectively, you're losing over 70 years of experience. And we've historically done a very good job of hiring and training from within. But at some point in time, you just need to do more, especially if you're going to grow the company like we have plans to do. And so, yeah, we've come to that point where the writing's on the wall. If we're not focusing on continually developing our bench, we're going to be in a tough spot, because not only do you lose a knowledge base, a skill set, you lose culture in a hurry. And then we need to make sure that we have people in line. Historically, we've used LIMRA and LOMA to train people up internally. But that's
one. For folks who don't know what those are industry associations in the life insurance business.
Yeah, the life, they don't stand for these acronyms anymore, but it's the Life Office Management Association is LOMA, and the Life Insurance and Marketing Research Association is LIMRA, which they have certifications internally and a lot of good education. But I think we need more than that because we rely on industry partners to do training for new products and process. We're working with Milliman right now on a great product that we're going to use in underwriting. But we need more than that. We need those leadership programs. We need those programs to motivate folks and really bring us good, solid employees.
Well, I think, Kyle, just from talking today, you as a leader, as well as just the foundation and the core of the values of National Farm Life, what I'm hearing you say is, you know, working in this industry and hearing especially young folks today, they want to know that they're making a difference. And they want to know that they're doing something for a better cause. And just the story of you talking about the funeral, right? You're handing the check where everybody else is handing invoices and telling that type of story along with the benefits that you offer beyond the pension, beyond the retirement, because I have found also that working with the younger generation, one of the things that's most important to them is it's not just about the pension, it's not just about the benefits, it's about what is my lifestyle going to look like working for this organization and how am I going to contribute. So kudos to you and the organization because I feel like you're really on a strong path. So congratulations for that.
Thank you very much. It's something that we are continually working on and very proud of at the same time. We have two university interns with us right now that are agricultural communications interns, and they're doing a lot of social media work for us and some writing and some creative work. And we met with them yesterday, and they both said, we had no idea that this was going to be so much fun. We had our perceptions of the internship were just way off.
And those are the stories you need to tell. Mm-hmm. So Kyle, with that being said, just to close out today, let's do this. If you could give us, you talked earlier in the podcast about the fact that you're going to be releasing a new website. So let's give you a plug on what your new web address is going to be, when we can expect to see that. And lastly, if you could, for parting words, give some advice to our students that if they've never really known much about life insurance industry or about your organization, how do they reach out? How do they contact you? How do they learn more? And what advice might you give them?
The website will not change, just to get that out of the way. It's www.nflic.com, or you can search National Farm Life Insurance Company or National Farm Life. It all comes up. If you search NFL, you might get something about football, but we get that all the time.
Completely different field.
Exactly, completely.
They need life insurance too, however,
yes,
right?
Yes, they do. The advice thing. Wow, that's an interesting question for me to answer. I have a background in public education. Mother was a public educator. I became a public educator. Then I was a university educator and member of a life insurance board for 14 years now, and now president and CEO of a company and member of a board still. Flexibility, I think, would be number one. There's, from a professional standpoint, I don't think I've ever said no to an offer, to try something, to move in a particular direction that would have been a new opportunity or a challenge for me. So that there's a willingness there, I think, that young people have to have. I worked with a lot of young people when I worked at university, and there was always an obstinance at times that no, I don't want to move to that part of the state, or I don't want to move out of state. You know, they led with I don't want to, and I don't think that's in the playbook. If you really want to step out there and be successful and be considered as a productive member of the team, that's a big one for me. I think you have to find someone that can be a guide for you at times. So find someone to be a mentor. and a leader that you really respect and trust what they tell you, and you appreciate their work and working with them. So that, I think that's a pretty big one. Those individuals are definitely guides and help out tremendously. I think you have to be able to really see the field. And what I mean by that is you have to be able to zoom out on complex systems or organizations and be able to digest things and communicate them well to others and improve to people that you understand what's going on in the business and come up with new and unique ideas. You have to be that problem solver at times. So I think it's been a really big thing for me, is to step into situations, understand what's going on, but be able to pick my head up and see the field and really look for solutions to problems that exist.
Thank you. Thank you so much for the provoking thoughts. Thank you for being a thought leader. And thank you, Dr. Kyle McGregor, for joining us today on the Workforce Lens. And thank you, National Farm Life, for the work that you do. And we appreciate learning more today. And thank you to our listening audience. And we look forward to having you join us on the next edition of the Workforce Lens.